chapter 19. I love that song. One of my favorite parts of that song is where it comes from. John is receiving the book of Revelation by vision in the Isle of Patmos. There was a scroll that needed to be opened, and nobody in heaven could open it. Lean over and whisper your neighbor and say, nobody. We're not that kind of church. We don't do that. We don't do that. Lean over and tell your neighbor nothing stuff. Nobody. Wait a minute. Is Billy Graham in heaven? I would think so, right? Couldn't Billy Graham open the scroll? Billy Graham couldn't open it. David up there? Moses, Elijah, right? Nobody in heaven said, hey, hand that scroll over here. John the Revelator melted, fell down and began to weep. The angel gets down beside him and says, don't weep. There's one. Slain Lamb of God. He can do it. Man, I get to heaven, guess what? It's going to be full of people who couldn't do anything for themselves. But there was one. I'm going to talk to you today. Title this message, I've changed it 4 times. So the devil wants you to feel, but God wants you to know. The devil wants you to feel. He wants you to feel like you don't worth nothing. He wants you to feel like you shouldn't come to church. He wants you to feel like you don't have a right to worship. He wants you to feel like you shouldn't read and you shouldn't pray and you shouldn't sing and you shouldn't serve. But God wants you to know. You can, because He did. I'm going to tell you about a bunch of miracles that happened. And we sit here as Christians a lot of times, we want to see miracles, right? Don't lie, you'd like to see one. I'd like to see one too every once in a while. But no miracle in the Bible that's written needed God to come down and become a man and die for it to happen but one. The biggest miracle that's ever been worked or ever will be worked is the saving of your soul. Because God couldn't speak it, God had to become it. Amen? So once you sit there and think, man, it'd be better if God could show us a miracle, He did. As He stretched Himself out on a cross and said, it is finished, and opened the door to heaven for you. Amen? Has anybody in here experienced that? One or two? I've experienced it. I experienced that experience. Y'all ready to get in the Word of God? I hope there's some Christians here that feel kind of like I do. On Mondays and Tuesdays, a lot of times, for preachers, is the hardest day. We can be up on a spiritual mountain on Sunday and be on the lowest of lows on Mondays and Tuesdays. And I know as believers, sometimes you can be on the highest of highs, get some of the best news, experience some of the greatest things with God, and an hour later, be in the lowest, darkest valley. Let's get into Word. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the Lord God to me, and more also. This is 1 Kings 19. Is that what I said? Okay. Just making sure, because I'm hearing pages turn up. It makes me nervous. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. What stuff did Jezebel hear about? Just one chapter prior to that, probably in the same few days, he built an altar, got 450 prophets of Baal, and called down fire from God. Fire that licked up water. Fire that fell and said, God is real. Fire that said, he sat there and he said, your God, go first. And he didn't do a thing. But Elijah said, God, if you hear my prayer, let them see my God. They dumped buckets of water. They made the wood wet, the cow wet, everything else wet in a drought. In a drought. I'm always amazed at God's men in the Bible and God's women in the Bible who would give to God even during a dry time. That's another message. But God came down and answered by fire. And one prophet of God, Elijah, one prophet, verses 450. And he won. And then he went down to King Ahab and he said, Ahab, we've been in a 3-year drought. Amen? It's going to rain today. You're crazy. I know I'm crazy, but I got a big God. He said to his servant, he said, hey servant, go up and look out into the sea and see if you see anything coming. His servant said, I don't see nothing. He says, go 7 times. On the 7th time, he says, I see a cloud that looks like a hand. Hey, guess what? It's the hand of God. It's going to be rain like you never seen. You better start packing up and leaving now because it's going to rain so bad that you're not even going to be able to see. He said, tell Ahab to go back and tell everybody to prepare for rain. As he was saddling up the horses and getting them ready and the chariots were prepared, all of a sudden the Spirit of God came upon Elijah, and guess what? He outran the horses! You ever read your Bible? It's pretty exciting stuff. Ahab's giving it double hands, riding it to the queen. Oh, we're going to get rain. If you ain't never been in a drought, you don't know what rain means until you've been thirsty. You ever been thirsty? Till you've been thirsty and hungry before? You only know, if you never known what it is to be thirsty or to be hungry, you don't know what I'm talking about. They're riding back and he says, there's a hope of rain. You can tell when it's going to rain. You know that? You know you can tell when it's going to rain when it ain't raining a long time? God, I wish y'all would help me preach. Ahab's right at thing and all of a sudden he sees a cloud of dust because it's dry. He sees a cloud of dust in his chariot rearview mirror. I know I'm taking privilege with the Bible, but hey, guess what? I'm the preacher today. Who's that coming up on the side of us? That's a fast chariot. Nope, that's a man under the Spirit of God. You can run faster and further and better than you've ever ran before if you'll run with God. Amen. He outruns the chariots of the king. Have you ever ran and didn't he know why he was running? That's God. Have you ever come to an altar and didn't even know you was coming to the altar? Ever started weeping and didn't even know you was weeping? Oh, come on. I've been under the conviction power of God so strong, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I feel tears coming down my face and I don't even know it. Why am I weak? Because I'm in the presence of God. I remember, I'll get silly with you, and I remember one time we had church at our old church down at Mount Moriah. All of a sudden, our pastor went out to the mailbox and he came back and he said, I know the post office doesn't deliver on Sunday, but I checked the mail. But as I was pulling the mail out, he said, if you'll get in the altar, God's going to deliver today. You know who all fell in the altar? Kids. Little kids. 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds were all in the altar crying and weeping before God. And I remember getting down in the altar beside one of them. I looked over and I said, sis, what's going on with you? She said, he's here. Whew. He's here. He's here. If you'll tug on him, he'll get here. If you pull on him, he'll get here. If you seek him, you'll find him. A lot of times in church, we don't want to seek him because we don't want to find him. Because we're afraid of what's going to happen. If we tug, if we pull, if we nudge him, we're afraid what he might get us into. We want to get out of here by a certain good time. Elijah felt the power of God. It was all over him. But guess what? Where is he at now? How did we get here? How did we get here? It's just a day or so away. Ahab got back and said, this is what he did. She said, he dies today. I'm going to kill him. Ain't this the same God? Ain't this the same guy? Some of y'all need more help like this and you know. This is the same God, the same guy. The minute he hears that she's after him, he runs into the wilderness and hides up under a tree. Amen? Hides up under a tree. Is anybody else hid? Anybody else tried to hide from God? Didn't you get saved last week? Didn't you praise God last Sunday? Weren't you singing last Sunday? Weren't you doing this last Sunday? Where are you at now? I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. What happened? I listened to the enemy instead of listening to God. I've listened to the enemy instead of listening to God. God can still call down the fire. God can still send you running faster than the chariots. God can still deliver. He can still do all He can do. But if you spend a little bit of time with the enemy, He'll send you in the wrong direction, running and hiding and separating yourself. Some of y'all made the biggest decision of your life by coming to church this morning. You weren't going to because you didn't feel like it. Weren't going to because we didn't feel like it. Amen? It'd be easier to hide up under the trees. Amen? First thing he did is said, hey, sir, you stay here. I'm going to isolate myself. See, what the enemy wants you to do is separate yourself from the people who will speak life into you instead of speaking death unto you. Because what you're going to do is if you'll get out there alone, and guess what? The devil will get down and he'll get right next to you and he'll say things like this. You should just give up. You hear the prayer? What was his prayer? Let me die. God, I'm done. Same God? Same guy? Who's he listening to? The enemy. What is he saying? God, I hope I get some real people this morning. I hope I hit somebody that needs to hear this. He listened to his prayer. Hey, God, if you wouldn't mind, I'm a failure. Would you take me out of the game? Would you let me die, Lord? I know we ain't going to golly. Lord, I'm good. I'm good. Let me die. Aren't you glad God parcels out our prayer life? We could have a whole altar full right now just because of just what I just said if you listen to it. Aren't you glad that God parcels out our prayer life? Aren't you glad that He don't answer all of our prayers the way we ask them? God, I quit. I'm done. I don't want to do anything anymore. God, I'm useless. Golly bum. I'm glad the Bible's real. We're not so real all the time, but I'm glad the Bible is. Because, I mean, a lot of times we'll put on, boy, we shine up. Boy, everybody tell you, you look good this morning. Hey, you know what? If you could get inside my head and my heart, I'm a mess. I'm a mess without God. I'm a mess without Him. I ain't strong. I'm not superhuman. I'm not some hero. Who I am is a beggar who begs God on a regular basis, please, please help me again. Please. Because God, without Your help, I can't do any of this stuff. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't know what to do. But God, I'm sure that You do. And ain't you glad He don't answer some of your prayers? Hallelujah. Man. I'm glad He prayed that, ain't you? Aren't you glad that's in here, that He prayed that kind of prayer? Because I've prayed some dumb ones before. Right? Verse 5. And as He lay there and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched Him and said unto Him, arise and eat. He's tired. One of the biggest things Elijah has going against him is he's tired. Some of y'all need to write that down. You're tired. The worst thing a Christian can be a lot of time is tired. When you get tired, I'll preach there for a while if you don't mind. Hey, when you get tired, a lot of times you have a misconception of who you are. I'm no good. You try to do everything for everybody. A lot of times you try to be everything for everybody. And you get tired. And the first thing you do is you have a misconception of who you are. God, I'm no good. God, I feel like I don't even belong to You. God, I feel like I don't even belong in church. God, I feel. And God's sitting up there going, I really don't care how you feel. Amen? I wish you'd start believing in who you are. Amen? Here's the other one. It gives you a bad perception of other people. Amen? Because you're going to see here in a few minutes, he's going to say something like, this is dangerous. If you ever hear anybody say this, they're dangerous. I am the only one. I'm the only prophet you got that's still serving you, right? Whew. There ain't never been a scare. Those words right there scare me more than anything anybody else can say. I'm the only one. We're the only church. We're the only. You are not the only ones. You got a bad perception of other people when you get tired. Who I am and who they are. And you got a bad perception of who God is. You forget you're tired, but He's not. You giving up, He hasn't even begun. Can I tell y'all a secret about God? It's not a very good kept secret. But a lot of times God works best when you come to the end of yourself. No, you can keep trying. You can keep bailing. You can keep bailing and bailing and bailing. And God will let you bail as long as you want to bail in your life. But when you get tired of bailing and drop the bucket and go seek Jesus, then most of the time He's going to turn the tide. He's going to do what He's going to do. Amen? So don't get so tired. He ran in the wrong direction and fell up under a tree. Hopefully the tree that I keep falling up under is the cross. I can't help but every time the Old Testament always has they'll throw an algum tree in there, a cypress tree, they'll throw in this here tree here. It's always amazing in Moses when he cut down a tree into bitter water. Never mind, golly bum. Y'all read much? They come up to a place called Marah. Amen? It's bitter water. They couldn't drink it. And God said, you know what you need to do is you need to cut the tree down and let the tree fall into the bitter water. And the tree will make all the difference. If y'all don't know this, the cross makes all the difference in your life. If you'll let it fall in the bitter waters of your life, the next time somebody drinks from you, it'll be pretty sweet. Never. Amen, preacher. That's good, preacher. Oh, that's good. Let me find where I was at. Verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake. Y'all liking this? Go look at verse 5 again with me real quick. And as he lay and he slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. God's better to you than you are to Him. If you would have dispatched the angel, you would have beat him to death. If an angel, if your angel had got dispensed and sent out to you, you wouldn't got a cake and some water. You'd have got a spiritual beatdown. God, I wish y'all could get this. God sends a messenger. God sends His angel. And He comes down there and He puts His food down and He wakes him up and says, go ahead and eat. Elijah wakes up. Oh, man, I'm so tired. God, I'm such a failure. Man, oh look, a cake. Angel food cake. And water. Awesome. He eats the cake and he drinks the water and goes back to sleep. Some of y'all need some rest. When you're depressed and you're all worn out, sometimes it's good and God knows for you to rest. Oh, I'm sorry. Some of y'all are trying to work yourself out of the thing. Sometimes you need to rest and look and make some good sense. A lot of y'all are getting so far out of balance because you never take time to let yourself settle. No, that, never mind, preacher. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't need any rest. I'll keep burning the candle at both ends, and we'll do it the way we've been always been doing it. And guess what? When I die, and you can do my funeral. Sorry. Y'all all right? Sometimes you got to take some time, friend. And you got to figure this thing out because if you're getting out of balance with God, guess what? You need it. And hey, apparently God's for it because He didn't send the angel back down there and knock him upside the head and say, get up and get out of here, did He? No, He didn't. I know. I read it. It's pretty good. Y'all ready? Look at this. Golly, why do I want to keep looking over there when I know it's not there? And the angel... Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Wakes him up again, feeds him again, and says, guess what? I'm going to send you again. I didn't even know I was going anywhere. That's a good thing about being a child of God. Sometimes you don't even know you're going when you're going. But God knows. See, God's in charge still. If you didn't know, God's still in charge of your life and everybody's life in this room. So don't call it too soon. Amen? Wake up. Eat the food again. You're going on a journey. Look at this. Y'all want to hear some cool stuff? Watch this. Verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. That's some high-protein angel food. Every time I read that, wow! Where can I get a meal like that? Give me that angel food to drink and go 40 days and 40 night journey. Man, that's some good stuff. Eating from God's table will keep you going a little bit longer than it will the world's table. Oh, imagine that. 40 days and 40 nights, man, running on the good stuff. Man, that's good. Guess I'll help you right here. Every Bible answer in the Bible, if you have a trivia, is usually answered with 40 or 7. I'm just letting you know. I don't know why I told you that. Verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, why are you here? What got you here? God's not asking him because he don't know. He's trying to restore him. A lot of times God don't ask you a question because he doesn't know where you're at. He wants you to tell him out of your own mouth how you got here. Amen? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts and for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even only I, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Now, check this out. What did God let him do? I know it's a long service. I know it's a long word, but you need it. What did he let him do? He let him rest. He let him eat. But guess else? What else did he let him do? He let him vent. Golly. God don't mind for you to share what's going on in your life with Him. Not the sugar-coated stuff. Not the prayers that we got rehearsed. Oh, Lord, thank you, God. Forever. He says, listen, God. Your prophets have broken your covenant.
Really?
Really? I didn't know that. Hey, God, they've torn down your altars. Keep it coming. And here's where it really gets good. Here's where the meat is. And I. Now we finally found the problem. Amen? And I've done this almost all week. Oh, and I, Lord, I am the only one. Finally. We get down to the main problem. It's about you. Right? It's not going your way. Whew. Because God is not always going to do it your way. So God lets him vent. He don't mind. Open the can up. It'd be better. Let me say it this way. It'd be better if you do it in your prayer closet. It'd be better for you to do it in your car. It'd be better for you to go on a long walk in the woods, get somewhere where it's just you and God, and just hammer down. And don't say what you want Him to hear. Say what you want to say. I think Joy said it earlier when he says, he wants that relationship where a kid and parents. You know what I like about being a parent sometimes is when the kids get sick and tired of giving you the old stuff and they give you the real. You know what I mean? Well, truth be told, I'm upset. I'm mad at you, Mom and Dad. We're not having the food I want. We don't get the money that I want. And I really don't like your rules. What does that make you want to do? Laugh. Right? And destroy them all in the same time. Right? I made you. And I could take you out of this world at any moment. But then you give them some perspective. Everything you got comes from me. Amen? Everything you got. That food, it might not be the best food, but guess what? We'll give it to them. Come on, some of you dads in here. You know, some of you mamas. Help me. What do you say? There's kids in Africa. They would kill for those dinosaur chicken nuggets, so shut your mouth and eat them. Right? Exactly. Right? There's some kids in Africa who would kill for that chili, that Van Camp's chili. You eat it. You hear me? Right? Oh, I don't like your rules. There's plenty of kids down at the detention center that would love to be at home. Maybe not, but it's something you got to say. But if you don't like my rules, you won't like society's rules, and guess what? When it's all said and done, you'll be out the big house down there eating at the prison, and you'll eat the food they give you, living under the house they got, and I guarantee you, they got some really stinky rules. We're pretty good? That's what we sound like to God. And God is just like us, sitting there listening. That's good, son. That's good, daughter. That's a good complaint. Amen? And how would you do it again? Right? Because I'm going to write all this stuff down. I'm going to remind you in about 25 years. Amen? Of how good a job you're going to do. No, that's a whole rant. Y'all like it? That's true, right? But that's how God, that's how he comes to God, right? Listen, I want y'all to get with me. Look, right here we go. Look. And he said, go forth and stand up on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Hallelujah. We want him to be in that wind again, don't we? Remember he called down the fire? Remember he called in the rain? Remember he outran the chariots? God showed up in a big old wind and he wasn't in that. God, we like to shake ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we want to come in and we want to fake it sometimes. I'll just do what I always do and God will be in that. Never mind, I'm just being real on that part. Guess what? God said, I'm not in that. I'm not in that earthquake. I'm not in that. I'm not in the rocks. I'm not in the earthquake. I'm not in the shaking. Look at this. He was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the fire. Surely God's in the fire, right? God's in the fire because I love to say, God, it was fire today at church. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, the fire, a still, small voice. My God. Joy, you just should have kept teaching. You'd have hit everything I was preaching this morning, I think. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering into the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto Elijah. And he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? God wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in all that. He wasn't even in the fire. He's in that small, intimate voice. God's a relationship God. I love the fire and I love the shaking and I love the running and I love the praise and I love the shouting and I love the amens. But you know what I like more than that? When God lets me hear His voice, that still, small, Holy Spirit voice that says, Kevin, I still love you despite of how you feel. I'm still in your life despite how you feel. I'm still using you despite of how you feel. I'm still working things out despite of how you want me to work them out. See, God was about to raise up a king and another prophet. And he was going to take care of the problem. He just wasn't going to take the problem away the way Elijah wanted him to take it. And God ain't going to remove all your problems the way you want him to move them. But let me tell you this. Some of you need to realize this. Some of y'all need some rest. Some of you need to eat spiritually. Some of you need to vent to God. And you need to really tell him how you feel. But then some of you need to stand and listen to the voice of God. You know what I think happened right here? It said he took his mantle and he wrapped it around his face. I think he was kind of broken at this point. He said, you know what? Instead of you looking at my face, I want you to look at what you've called me to be. I'm not, in myself, I'm not much. But when I'm covered by God, that's when I'm good. I'll cover myself in you, not in who I am. Guys, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to be honest with you. It's not easy to be a Christian all the time. And sometimes when the sea's real high, when the tide's real high, and we're having some of the best times we'll ever have in this church, a couple of days later, we're going to have some of the hardest times. We're going to see some of the worst stuff happen. But God's still God in both places. But we got to be real with ourselves when we get there. We got to listen for God and listen for Him hard. And we got to fight. Can I tell you how you're going to fight? I'm just going to give you one example. Everybody stands, they come get a song. You know what one of the best ways to fight the devil? Do y'all know what they call the devil? They call him the tempter. And they call him the father of all lies. Right? The father of all lies. This is one of my biggest defenses, and I'll give it to you. This is one of the biggest defenses you can use against the enemy when he's really coming at you. Whatever he says to do, you do the opposite. Whatever your feelings is telling you to do, you do the opposite. I don't feel like going to church. Go to church. I don't feel like praising. Praise. I don't feel like leading singing. Lead singing. I don't feel like preaching. I'll preach. Amen? I don't feel like going down there and letting everybody see me be a mess. Go down there and let everybody see you be a mess. Amen? Because what the enemy wants you to do is he wants you to isolate. He wants you to stay working hard as you can. He don't want you to ever talk to God about it. And he definitely don't want you to hear that still small voice. Some of you need to come up here on this altar and say, God, let me hear your voice again. I've gotten some really bad places with you this week, this month, this year. And I'm not hearing from you, God. And I want to. I'm in a really low place. I came from a real high place. Salvation and the Spirit of God moving so strong. And I don't know how I got here, but God, I know I'm going to need you to get out of here. If you would.